I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If anyone has a passing knowledge of Diane Rehm and her nationally syndicated radio program, she's been up front for years now. Her husband suffered from Parkinson's. Now, what happened recently in an NBC interview with Diane Rehm upon the passing of her husband was she expressed a very strong support for physician-assisted suicide. She said, "I would like to, in every state across the country, in every city, in every county, I would like very much to see a justification and allowance for aid in dying. I will hopefully someday, with the help of a kind physician, be able to end my life when I choose." That's what Diane Rehm told NBC News in a recent interview. What does this mean? What is she saying? And how popular are these kind of sentiments among those who are losing or have lost loved ones? Wesley Smith joins us for his reaction. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of several books, including Forced Exit, The Slippery Slope, From Assisted Suicide to Legalized Murder, and he's author of a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism. Wesley, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. I hope you're having a good day.
You as well. Not to diminish Diane Rehm's grief in any way, but what was your reaction upon hearing what she had to say, a very strong statement about universal assisted suicide?
Well, if that's the kind of society we want, where instead of caring for people, we kill people who are suffering, then that's the society we're going to get. Part of the story that had me react to Diane Rehm, because I tend not to react to people who are in grief, people go through grief, but her husband didn't die of Parkinson's. Her husband committed suicide by self-starvation. And suicide by self-starvation is being pushed and promoted very vigorously by the euthanasia movement. They call it voluntary stop eating and drinking, or VSED. Indeed, they do not limit the idea of VSED to the terminally ill. Just as one example, that NBC story, that you describe discusses compassion and choices, and their statement by Barbara Coomsley, who's the head of Compassion and Choices. And Barbara Coomsley, in this story, it used to be called the Hemlock Society. They use a lot of euphemisms to mask their true intent. It was more honest when it was called the Hemlock Society. She said, Barbara Coomsley, that she hoped that people like John Rehm would have the option of assisted death because he was terminally ill. Well, he may or may not have been terminally ill. Parkinson's generally is not a terminal illness. But the story says that this whole idea of VSED is limited to the terminally ill, and it's baloney. Let me read to you from the Compassion and Choices website, where they have a booklet which gives people moral permission to self-starve and teaches them how to do it, called Voluntary Starvation, Stop Eating and Drinking. Quote, "Some call us because they feel overwhelmed by the symptoms of chronic and progressive illnesses that fill their days with misery and suffering. There are also those who may not be seriously ill, but are simply done. After 8 or 9 decades of life, they want information about ways to gently slip away in a peaceful and dignified manner. Regardless of their clinical circumstances, these individuals share a common desire to maintain autonomy over their end-of-life decisions, and it goes on to describe self-starvation. I should hasten to add, by the way, that self-starvation is not a gentle way to go into that good night, any more than locking you in a room for 10 days and giving you no food and water, whether that would be a gentle experience for you. It's not a gentle experience. It could be an anguishing experience, a terribly painful experience, which is why people like or groups like Compassion and Choices will often refer people who want to starve themselves to death to doctors willing to palliate those terrible symptoms, which to me is a form of assisted suicide. But beyond that, the way the media covered this piece, and I have an article in today's First Things, if people want to go to firstthings.com, is as if John Rehm's suicide was necessary, meaning that was the only option. So therefore, we should discuss what's the best way to do it, and that should be doctor-prescribed death, meaning an overdose of drugs. Those suicides are not necessary. And in fact, in this First Things article, I give voice to two people who I have known, and many of your listeners must know many, many, who have gone through terrible suffering akin to that of Diane and John Rehm. And there's nobody saying there wasn't terrible suffering there. Of course there was. But who found that even though they had once been suicidal, they were so glad they didn't actually do it. And one died, who was my last hospice patient, died of Lou Gehrig's disease. And one is Mark Pickup, who I would urge you to interview sometime on these issues. He's a Canadian. He runs the Human Life Matters blog. He has a an article in the Western Catholic Reporter in Canada. And he has progressive multiple sclerosis, terrible symptoms he's experienced. He's lost his ability to be an artist. He's lost his ability to be a musician. He's lost his ability to work. He hasn't been able to use a wheelchair for the last 10 years and so forth. And he went through a terrible suicidal time. If the idea of suicide became the norm, he might not be here. He might not have lived long enough to experience the ability to then, go through that terrible suffering and come out the other side, still suffering, but with a joy in life. This is why the disability rights activists, whether they are secular or religious, are adamantly against assisted suicide, because stories like what MSNBC or what NBC ran and assertions like Diane Rehm's are telling people with disabilities their lives are not worth living, and if you want to kill yourself, we should make it easy for you to do so. And that causes tremendous harm, not only to people who might kill themselves, but to their families, who might be the only bulwark, as Mark Pickup's was and as Robert Salamanca's was, between them and an assisted suicide death, or a suicide death. I just find these kinds of assertions, particularly when these media groups never give the other side of issues. It's almost like the need for suicide is a fact, and there's no reason to even call an anti-assisted suicide person to get a contrary opinion. If they had called me, for example, I would have pointed out that Compassion and Choices doesn't say, oh, this is a terrible death, we don't think anyone should have to do it for the terminally ill. They push it for people who aren't dying and who aren't even sick if they want to commit suicide. So excuse my anger, but it makes me sick.
NBC reports that in national polls, 65% of people polled have come out in favor of physician-assisted suicide in pursuit of an easier death in cases of terminal illness. Now, you've already pointed out that in the case of John Rehm, it was not a terminal illness. But laying that aside, what are your thoughts on 65% of people thinking that this might be a good idea, even for the terminal?
Well, the polls have varied, and sometimes they're evenly divided, and sometimes they're like this. But the only polls that really matter are elections. And the last time this was up for a vote was in 2012 in Massachusetts, not a conservative state, not a fundamentalist Christian state. The people of Massachusetts, at the urging of Ted Kennedy's widow, who is not exactly a conservative either, voted no on legalizing assisted suicide, 51-49%. So I think the country is evenly divided on this question. But I do know this, people are not marching in the streets demanding that doctors give them poison if they become terminally ill or if they become disabled. What people are really concerned about is whether they're going to get the kind of care they need. And I would urge people in a time of cost cutting in healthcare to consider this. It costs about $1,000 to make somebody dead by assisted suicide, and that includes the doctor's visits. It may cost $100,000 to give them the kind of loving and compassionate care so they don't want assisted suicide. If we go down the assisted suicide road, the economic weight of gravity seems pretty obvious to me. And if people think that would never happen, I can tell them this. In Oregon in 2008, there were two people on Medicaid, Barbara Wagner and Randy Stroop. These were, and Medicaid is rationed in Oregon, so that healthcare is rationed for Medicaid patients in Oregon. Their doctors, they both had terminal cancer, their doctors prescribed chemotherapy to extend their lives, not save them, but extend their lives 9 months a year, which is a normal part of a proper cancer therapy. Medicaid in Oregon said, no, we will not pay for your cancer treatment, but don't worry, in a letter to these two people, we will pay for your assisted suicide. That's where we're heading if we continue to hearken to the voices that say, let's legalize assisted suicide in every state and in every city. It will end up victimizing the weak, the suffering, and the despairing.
Oh, finally, with only 30 seconds here, Wesley, it is presented as autonomy. Diane Rehm says, I want to end my life when I choose. With only 30 seconds, what's your response to the autonomy argument?
Well, if it's autonomy, then anybody who wants to commit suicide should have access to help. And we should stop all suicide prevention. Because you can't say, well, it's just for this small subset. It's going to be eventually for everyone, as we've seen has happened in Belgium, where, for example, a young woman was despairing because her psychiatrist had sexually predated her, and the solution was for another psychiatrist to kill her in answer to her despair. That's where you go when you accept suicide and death as an acceptable answer to human suffering.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Forced Exit, The Slippery Slope from Assisted Suicide to Legalized Murder. And he's author of a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism. You'll find a link to his books and to his article for First Things addressing this issue at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, thank you so much for your time, and please keep up the good work.
Thanks very much.
This is a terrible time to live. And in the name of trying to make it a good time to die, many are taking the value that is intrinsic into our lives, the intrinsic value of every human life, and diminishing it, trading life for death. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.